Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. I'd like to thank Brian and Howard and the team for all the hard work that they put into having local services here while we were off at the feast and other sites. And from what I heard, it went pretty well, right? Yeah? Did you guys have a good feast?
Yes.
Awesome. Did you guys have a great feast?
Yes.
You know, I can't believe it's been over 1,000 years since we've seen each other last. In fact, according to feast logic, it's been over 2,000 years since the last Sabbath that I was here with you guys on the Day of Atonement. And it's so good to see you again. It was particularly a different feast for me this year. In Cedar City, first it snowed on Friday, and then I got sick in the middle of the feast, and we had to cancel our hike up to Angel's Landing. Yeah, that was a bummer. And we had to call our friend at Caroline from Cincinnati at 4 o'clock in the morning and tell her that we weren't going to be able to make it on the hike, and unfortunately she had to miss out too because we were the ones with the permit. I had a package I had ordered at the beginning of the feast, and I talked to my hotel staff, and they said, oh yeah, you can have your package sent to the front desk. And it was a new Bible that I had ordered, and I didn't bring one with me, and I had been wanting to get a new King James Version because I didn't have my own yet. And it came, and the person at the front desk, I had my hotel, my room number, and I had all my stuff written down. And they said, we don't know who this person is. Send it back. So that was fun. I felt like I was being tested at that point a little bit. But I did get to play a round of golf with my friend Mike back there. That was fun. Luckily, the weather cleared up enough that we were able to do that. And, you know, it just snowed the one night. So it snowed quite a bit, though. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the pictures yet, but I think we got somewhere around like 8 inches or something like that of snow. You know, I had to borrow one of those snow pick, what are they? Scraper? Yeah, I had to borrow a scraper from the hotel. Luckily, they had a bunch and get all the snow off of my truck. But, you know, instead of, you know what we didn't get to do, too? We didn't get to go rock climbing. I know you guys know that's like a big thing for me and Sarah. And last year, we went like 3 or 4 times. And because of the snow and all these different things, we didn't get to go climbing. But what we did get instead was we got some amazing fellowship, and we got to hear some great messages. Last year, we couldn't go to the services because we had our dog with us, and our dog couldn't be left in the hotel by herself. We learned that lesson the hard way the year before. And this year, we decided to put Ophi in a boarding train, so she didn't come with us. We brought our cat along because he's fine. And so this year, we were actually able to go and go to the services every day except for the one that I woke up sick, and that was amazing. We got lots of good fellowship, great messages, and we got to spend time with brethren doing some other things that we enjoy, and yeah, we had a really great time. So one thing we learned this year that we found out we kind of missed last year was that God's Spirit really fills that hall. You know, wherever you have the feast, whether it's here or, you know, at some other site, you know, God's there and he's with his people, wherever, you know, people are speaking in his name. And that was something that we didn't realize we were going to miss when last year when we were at our hotel watching services online. It just wasn't the same. And even the music, you know, get up there and singing the hymns and you've got 200 plus people there singing behind you and God, it was just awesome. It was a great experience. So, does anyone know what the theme of the feast was this year? No? You know, they usually tell you, right? The feast video that we all watched at the beginning on the first day was titled A Vision for Christ's Future Kingdom, and that's a pretty good theme for the feast. I think that's probably what it was. Like I said, I don't think anybody actually specifically mentioned what it was. But that seemed to be kind of a common theme throughout the feast this year. And by the way, if you can tell me how many times I said feast, I'll give you $5 in this message. I'll have to check because I actually don't know. But there was also something that stood out to me this year. And it came out of some of the messages I heard, as well as the experiences that I had. I guess you could say I had a personal secondary theme for my own feast. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Thank you. Going into the feast this year, Sarah and I had a goal to spend more time with brethren and to get to know more of them. And to take in more of the spiritual food that God was providing during this time. In doing so, this question came up in my head. I started asking myself, how much of myself am I giving to God? How much of myself am I giving to God? And that's the title of my message today. So I kept noticing things in my life that were taking up time and energy that could better be spent building my relationship with God. Things like video games and doom scrolling and binging shows on Netflix. I don't have a lot of spare time. You know, I have a business and I work another job and I only get so much free time. And I have been missing my God. You see, God is our Father and Christ our brother. And just like our families, if we go too long without talking to them or spending time with them, we will inevitably grow apart. It can happen to anybody. It happens so easily. It's just a matter of getting distracted and allowing yourself to get distracted. But God wants a relationship with all of us, but he won't force it. So we have to come to him. The following are three things, therefore, that we can remember and I think will help us continue to grow closer to God and in the knowledge of his spirit and his word. So the first thing we can remember is everything we do should be done to glorify God, right? All the things that we do, we can dedicate what we do in this life, big and small, to God. Are there things that you are doing in your spare time or otherwise offering your time and your energy to that cannot be devoted to God? If there are, we should consider these things and learn if we have any altars other than God in our lives. Mr. Weber gave a really great message this year. Unfortunately, none of the messages in Cedar City were recorded, so if you weren't there, you won't be able to hear it. He may have given it before, but you know, it's all about how we have some, you know, Abraham built an altar to God. That was his only altar, and that's why he was the father of the faithful. But we can have lots of altars in our lives. You know, it could be hobbies, you know, and other interests and things, you know, all kinds of things. It could be good things, or it could be bad things, or it could be, you know, just whatever things. But it's what anything that we put before God in our lives that we devote our time to can be an altar that can get in between him and us. I'd like to read to you 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter 4:11. I'm going to use my new Bible that I bought on the way home from the feast in St. George. I went and found a Barnes & Noble. I was determined to get a new Bible. And you know, it's not a... It's actually not a New King James, so I ended up finding this other Bible. It's called the Every Man's Bible, and it's an NIV, but it has some really great study features, so I decided to go with this one instead. So 1 Peter 4, turn to 1 Peter 4, and let's read verse 11. Let's see here. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So in all things that we do, we can glorify God. Everything that we have, including our time, belongs to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Actually, that's my next point. My next point is, everything that is under the sun belongs to God. Therefore, he deserves time, the time that is dedicated to prayer, study, and worship each day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. A few books back here. The only thing this Bible doesn't have that I wanted is the tabs to make it easier to turn to the books. But that's okay, because I'll just have to get better at turning to them. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, and I'm going to read verse 19 through 20. Do you not know... Yep, there it is. Maybe I should get my old man glasses out. Hold on. Oh, see, I'm getting old. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So even our very bodies don't belong to God. And that's why, you know, we need to be able to devote our time to building that relationship with God and to studying his word. It's so important. And I know I'm speaking to a lot here who have been doing this a very long time, and you've probably heard this a million times, and you're probably a lot better at it than I am. But, you know, these messages, oftentimes we're speaking to ourselves as much as we are anybody else, so that's okay. But we need to open our Bibles. That's my point. I made a goal for myself at the end of the feast this year, along with Sarah, to open my Bible at least once a day. And I don't think that's really that hard to do, actually. We just have to put our minds to it and put it in our schedule and make us, you know, hold ourselves accountable. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 in the NIV says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure and spiritual milk so that it may grow up in your, so that you may grow up in your own salvation." Psalm 1, verse 2 also says, you don't have to turn to these, starting in verse 1 for context, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And you know what that scripture tells me is that reading God's word is not a chore. You know, it should be our delight. And any of you ever gotten a new Bible and it just feels great? And you just, you know, you want to read it because it's, I don't know, it's kind of a funny thing. We've got Bibles at home, but something about having a new one. And that was a big part of the reason I wanted to get a new one as well, because I was like, you know, I want to, let's make this, this is like a sign for a new chapter in my life, you know, where I'm trying to do better and read the Bible more, so. You know, it's something tangible that I can connect with that goal that I have. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Let's turn there. Oh, I'm better at turning to these than I thought I would be. That's happy. All right, so let's see. Hebrews 4, and I'm going to read 12 through 13. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." In my Bible here, there's a commentary on these two verses. I'd like to read it to you. It's a little bit smaller. Let's see here. "During hard times, our faith tends to dwindle." Oh, and by the way, I should probably give credit to these guys. Every Man's Bible by Tyndale, I think it is, NIV. I saw it. Tyndall. Yeah. All right. During hard times, our faith tends to dwindle. It is easy to grow angry and harden our hearts to the truth about ourselves. There is an antidote to the problem, the Word of God, which has spiritual power to penetrate the depths of our hearts. God knows everything about us, even the things we try to hide from ourselves. We can count on Him through His Word to uncover the problems that show us the truth we need to see. This is our responsibility. Then it is our responsibility to respond to the truth that He shows us. The reason I picked that scripture is because, you know, no matter how long we've been reading God's word, there's always something more that we can learn from it. And this is how He talks to us. This is how He teaches us, you know, to serve Him, to be more like God, be more like Christ. My last point, probably a little bit over time, that's okay. The boss isn't here today. Nothing can compare to the rewards of living a life dedicated to serving God. God's way adds value and meaning and purpose to all things that we do. So many people are missing meaning in their lives, and that's why depression is so prevalent today. And I'll tell you that Big Pharma does not have the answers to depression. In the millennium, depression will not be treated with medication. God says He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21, verse 4. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have been passed away. We can experience that kind of healing now through the power of the Word of God. Also, Christ tells us that as long as we seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness first, He will provide all other things that we need. And that's in Matthew 6, verse 33. Lastly, our true reward, your true reward, is in the kingdom. These are some scriptures we likely read multiple times during the feast, and I'll just read them to you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, verse 2. Blessed and holy is he who was part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. It's another one of the rewards of building our relationship with God. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we should reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10. We'll be appointed kings and priests. Lots of benefits. So now I will conclude. Coming out of the Feast of Tabernacles and back into the world in which we currently live, having been fed abundantly with the spiritual food and fellowship, I know that I have a lot of work to do to grow in the knowledge and the Spirit of God. I need to earnestly seek after righteousness in all that I do, because as Matthew 24, verse 36 says, no one knows the day or the hour. I hope that you all have been inspired, as I have been, by your experience at the feast this year, by the messages and the fellowship and the lessons that come with all that. And I pray that we can all continue to move forward towards God's kingdom, growing in our faith and our relationship with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy Sabbath.